much for joining me today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and as always, we're wishing you the best. And we love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us so often right on Progressive Radio Network, where you can listen live. It's always great to listen live, and you can also listen to the archive, so you never have to miss a show, and neither do any of your friends. If they want to jump on board and you heard something interesting, you can definitely just go ahead and join us another time. Now, we also have so much going on, both on ground and online, that you can join us with. And many of our classes have CE credits. In fact, we're in the middle of actually having a course, and it's a 4-class course. And even though you didn't sign up ahead of time, you actually can join in any time and get 18 CE credits. That's 18 CE credits for actually having a degree, not really a degree, but let's say a certificate in herbal medicine, which can lead towards your registered herbalist. That's what's so really, really wonderful. It can lead towards your registered herbalist. And you can find out about that. Our next class, which is coming up, is about using herbs for yourself and your family. So it's really very specific about dosing and documents and exactly how to use herbs. So feel free to visit us at naturalnurse.com and look at calendar. We also have a lot of on-ground classes coming up where we're actually right there. If you're in Long Island, New York, I will be there presenting a free lecture at the Naval Expo. That's NAVELEXPO. It is on Long Island, coming up really soon in a couple weeks. And in fact, I'm going to tell you about a guest who may also be there at the Naval Expo. And her name is Dr. Olga Asaeva. And she is going to talk to us today about biomimetic dentistry. Now, Dr. Olga is a holistic biomimetrist dentist, and she graduated from Louisiana State University School of Dentistry. She has rediscovered her passion for dentistry in the newly emerging field of biomimetic or nature mimicking dentistry. She's a graduate of the Almond Delaperry Center for Biomimetric Dentistry, and is one of a handful of dentists who believe in this nature-driven movement. And she's strongly committed to conservation and preservation of healthy tooth structure. So we're so happy to have her on board with us today. And thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Olga.
Well, thank you, Eileen. It's glad to be here.
Now, I know that you are right in Huntington, Long Island, and we have lots of local listeners right here on our network here, which is which is Progressive Radio Network, which is actually in Long Island as well. And your website, I believe, is Nature's with an S Dental.
Correct.
Is that correct?
NaturesDental.net.
.net. Okay, and we'll be absolutely discussing that during our show today as well. Well, let's go back in time and share with our audience, Dr. Olga, what made you decide to be a dentist in the first place?
Okay, so I'm actually coming from a family of physicians, and I was born in Ukraine, and we kind of more holistically oriented as I'm finding out now. I even realized my parents never even vaccinated me. I'm not sure how they get away with that. So I was always interested and surrounded by doctors, and I have some nurses as well, my family, my grandmother, and was fascinated with healing. So when I came to U.S. and I got to observe a few dental offices, I got even more into it, and that was a very simple choice for me, and I never regret it ever since.
So it felt like a natural fit for you.
Yes, it felt really natural. And I went through my school in Louisiana. That's where we moved from Ukraine. And I got to meet with some wonderful dentists throughout the years who kind of guided me throughout my schooling even.
And so you got inspired, because being a dentist is not, you know, it's not nothing that happens instantly. You have to plan. You have to go to lots of school before you even get to go to the extra courses that you took to specialize in natural dentistry.
Right, right. So it's 4 years of college, 4 years of dental school, residency, and then you come out and you start practicing. So I've been doing this for about 10 years. Since I switched gears into a more natural approach, which is a whole story in itself.
Well, when you were practicing conventional dentistry, what was some of your, you know, concerns? I mean, I imagine you felt you were helping people, but what were
right.
some of your concerns that led you to seek further?
Right. Well, that's a great question, because it actually kind of drives it home, because I had some teeth issues, and when I came to U.S., I got some dental work done. That's way before dental school, and actually had some amalgam fillings placed in. So as I finished the dental school and started kind of doing a little bit of research where those things are that we've all been exposed to, I decided to replace them with the regular white fillings, but I didn't know much about toxicity and proper removal at the time. So I myself ended up with 3 root canals and a crown, and practicing dentistry for about 10 years at that time, and seeing that a lot of people had similar issues, a lot of crowns that we were placing leading to root canals, and a lot of big fillings like amalgam replacement fillings were leading to root canals. So I was honestly getting pretty disappointed in the way I was practicing, as well as my colleagues. So in search of a better way of practicing and better dentistry for myself, I actually came across by looking into holistic approaches and what was the main difference. So this is how I got into biomimetic dentistry.
And, you know, how would you even stumble upon that? Because it's not what is taught in conventional dental school.
That's true. Yeah, so what, that's another interesting story. I was reading an article of Dr. Alex Schwartzman, who you actually had on your show a couple of times.
Yes, and Alex was my dentist, in fact. So, yes.
Yes. So I was reading an article, and the term biomimetic kind of popped out. And as I was reading, it was literally like the light bulb went in my head, and I was thinking, oh, my God, this is exactly what I always wanted to do. I just had no idea how to do it. So within the same day, literally, I was able to track down the school that teaches dentists to practice this way. It's a training that any dentist can take. And up to this day, they are offering these classes on the West Coast and in Italy. But out of all places, Eileen, believe it or not, they were coming to Long Island in about 2 weeks' time since I found out about it. So that was one of those moments when you feel like God, force, universe, whatever you believe in, is on my side, and I'm supposed to be seeing this and doing this, and now what I want to do is introduce more people to this more conservative and natural dentistry.
And there's a reason why. There's certainly a reason why. So when you were doing conventional dentistry, did you find that, you know, some of the things you did, I'm sure you did an excellent job, really weren't to your liking in terms of the medical outcome?
Correct. So with this type of dentistry, the main goal is to preserve the healthy tooth structure, which in turn helps to prevent root canals and crowns. And in my mind, it's a really true holistic dentistry, because you can't put a price on the healthy tooth structure. You can't put a price on, you know, keeping your tooth alive, because as we learning now with the toxicity of the root canals that may cause for the rest of the body, it's so crucial to keep that tooth alive, and this is the only way that I know of, is by applying these biomimetic techniques.
So that's how, that actually is a different kind of therapy. Now let me ask you how you feel about some other things that people are very familiar with in conventional sure. dentistry, such as when you visit the dentist, they suggest applying a fluoride rinse. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so most of all holistic dentists usually opposed to fluoride because it is a very potent neurotoxin, and we know we don't want that in our mouth and our brain. It's able to deposit in the brain tissue like our pineal gland and even block it, basically calcify it, so the children may lose their creative abilities. It also deposits in the bone. I'm sure you heard of fluorosis of the bones.
Okay, well, I heard of it, but let's talk about it to the listeners. I mean, certainly public opinion it seems to reflect the fact that fluoride is so excellent that we need to dump it in all our water supplies, as well as have it painted additionally on our teeth and in our toothpaste daily.
Right. Well, this is a totally different approach, and this is it's a tough discussion because I adhere to something that's called Academy of Oral, International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. So this is the, you may call like a holistic branch of dentists that would practice without mercury and without fluoride. And it's a great site for your listeners to visit. It's called IOMT.com. And it has all the info about fluoride, its toxicity, how it started, why we decided to fluoridate our waters.
And Tell us that website study. Again, please.
It's IOMT.com.
IOMT. So that way, if people call me, I can share that, because that's a website that actually shares information about the fact that mercury in fillings might not be the best thing, and dumping tons of fluoride on your teeth and in your mouth is also probably not wise. So why does the dental profession promote those things?
Well, it's a traditionally taught dentistry that we've been doing for about 100 years. It's definitely easy because mercury could be placed in a very easy fashion. It's not we never worry about the moisture when metal fillings were placed. So as you know, mouth is very, there's a lot of saliva, so the mercury fillings are definitely easy to place. And this is what we knew best 100 years ago. But as I said, a lot of textbooks haven't been updated. They're definitely teaching dentists about the white composite fillings and new materials, but it still hasn't been put in a protocol where every dentist finishing dental school can start practicing this way. So as we graduate, we start looking for ourselves, what can we do different, what can we do better. And some of the European countries like Switzerland and Japan already switched gears, and they fully embrace biomimetics. So their dentists graduated.
Really? Wait a minute. I need to hear that again, Dr. Olga.
Yes.
You're saying that in other countries, they have already embraced, because of the overwhelming scientific support, things like not using mercury fillings and not doing tons of fluoride in their water, in their toothpaste, in dental visit rinses. So you're saying that in other countries, they actually agree with that?
Certainly. As you know, the alternative medicine in other countries is a little more popular, and I know we're moving slowly towards it, but as with everything on the East Coast, it's going to take time. So thankfully for shows like yours, we can educate people to do their research to start looking for other alternative modalities for health, including oral health.
So much so. Now, I actually think that the use of the word alternative is not even the best word, because let's say it's used as mainstream in other countries. So it's not the alternative, it's the evolvement to the mainstream choice being evidence-based, because
Correct.
The research, like you said, at IOMT.com is so thoroughly convincing about the lack of evidence in terms of dumping all this fluoride and mercury in our mouth being particularly good for our health, and lots of evidence showing it is not good for our health. So other more progressive medical services, such as in other countries, are just going with the evidence. So it's not that they're considering it alternative, they're considering it best practice.
Correct. Yes, I fully agree with that. Best practice dentistry and biomimetic dentistry is definitely the future of all dental care. I truly believe that.
But people don't have to wait for the future, because I've come to your office and had that done. You are so busy, I think, because there's not really a lot of dentists offering these updated evidence-based services.
Yes, there's about a handful of dentists on Long Island and the city that practice in this way. So we were quite busy, and I had to start searching out for some partners who helped me out since we were booked out. So thankfully, the two lovely ladies came across our practice, and I would love to introduce their names here. It's Dr. Chitwan Gupta, who graduated from India, and she practiced back home and as well in the U.S., and then she embraced biomimetic dentistry and is fully committed to this tooth-conserving type of way of practicing. So she practices with me as well. And Dr. Diana Kopacz, who got trained and practiced alongside with Dr. Alex Schwartzman back in his office. So she's also practicing dentistry, biomimetic dentistry with us. So three of us brave ladies decided to go against the norm and practice green dentistry in Greenlawn. That's where we're located.
I love that. Green dentistry in Greenlawn, because yes. Greenlawn, Long Island, is where your practice is located.
Correct.
Well, that is a beautiful thought. And when you call it green dentistry, what are you meaning by that?
Well, just like I mentioned originally, green dentistry to me is tooth-conserving dentistry, dentistry with the heart, putting our love, our everything we got into restoring this tooth without the root canal and crown, and applying these biomimetic techniques. Because I really believe the heart of the tooth is the nerve of the tooth. So we need to preserve that by all means possible. And we see it work. It's science-based. It's a great service. Like I said, you can't put a price on saving your tooth naturally.
So that's a big thing, saving your tooth naturally. Let's go into something. I mean, usually once people get, let's say, a toothache and things have happened and there's a problem with the tooth, the thing you're usually told to do is a root canal.
Right. I mean, at certain points, unfortunately, you may need that unless you decide to take the tooth out. But a lot of times before that pain starts, that's why it's very crucial to come in more regular. Every 6 months, if you have healthy gums, just for a regular checkup. So we could find those things before the pain starts and restore tooth biomimetically, which I probably should explain what that means.
Yes, now would be a good time. So
yes.
You're saying the best way to avoid having to get a root canal is to get regular checkups, discover potential problems before they start, and then use biomimetric techniques to offset the necessity for something like a root canal.
Correct. So biomimetic, let's define that. So bio means nature, and mimetic is to be like or to mimic. So biomimetic dentistry really means nature-like dentistry. So how do we make the tooth nature-like? So in this type of dentistry, when we're finished with the filling, it looks and feels like a natural tooth. But the most important thing, we bring the strength of the tooth to almost its original strength. So if it's a weak tooth structure, we're able to reinforce that weak structure instead of removing more of the healthy tooth, like in the case of a crown, for example. So as we know, our teeth are made of enamel on the outside, which is the strongest material in our body, and the dentin on the inside, which is very flexible and malleable, and it allows us to put a lot of force when we're chewing. So the biomimetic dentist is able to replicate those two different layers of the tooth with a different type of material, which literally mimics the density of the natural tooth, which is, I think, just amazing. And another thing we incorporate is called ribbon, which is a fiber, and that fiber is very, very strong and yet flexible. So that also helps to bring the tooth back to its original strength and make it flexible at the same time.
So these are materials that are unique to biomimetric. Would they be available to any dentist?
Yes, these materials are available, and many dentists may be using them as well. It's just a certain way of placing them when you follow the biomimetic protocol. That's when it's literally been studied and reviewed, and it shows that it is reducing the root canal need by 90% and almost eliminates all the new crowns. So this is the best part about it.
So other dentists may be using these more advanced materials, but they may not because they're not trained in them, and you know they're going to go to the default mercury. I have to say that in the years that I've been involved in natural medicine, which has been since 1964, and that's with a six, there definitely has been a movement, even among mainstream dentists, to offer non-mercury fillings, even if they don't necessarily believe in it. But I know when you become a dentist, you're actually trained in the high level of caution and toxicity due to the use of mercury. So, of course, that could be affecting not only your patients, but yourself and your employees in your office.
Right. So this is very important to, in our office, obviously, we don't place the mercury, but we do remove a lot of old mercury fillings, and it's extremely crucial to use this what's called safety mercury removal protocol, which is advertised on the IOMT website. So we follow that protocol, which utilizes rubber dam, prevents you from any pieces being swallowed, also the oxygen mask, so you breathe the air versus all the vapors while we remove the mercury. There is a swishing of charcoal and chlorella, a big vacuum suction that will get all the debris and all the vapors as well, and we protect ourselves, the doctor, the assistant, everybody wearing masks and some head covering, because it is toxic, and it's a lot of people, including myself, when I got that removed, I never had it done. So there was definitely some mercury toxicity in most of us. And the very interesting thing, it really reflects in different ways in different people. And it's impossible to pinpoint and say, okay, this was due to mercury toxicity. But a lot of autoimmune issues, a lot of gut health and brain health, is being documented that it is affected by the mercury.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. You know what? We're going to go to a little break right here on Progressive Radio Network. We're right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z with Dr. Ellen Kamai, along with Dr. Olga, who is from naturesdental.net. That's with an S. naturesdental.net. If you would like to have your teeth and your mouth really cared for through a holistic, highly studied medical dentistry that gives you much, much better outcomes, and also you can have your teeth longer and you know, with less pain going through it as well, I have noticed at your office. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back once again to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. You can comment by going to naturalnurse.com and hit the contact button. You can find out about private consultations. You can look at calendars to see where you can join myself and Eugene Zamperone in person at classes that we give, such as at Restoration Farm in Bethpage coming up in June. We'll actually be spending the whole day there walking around and collecting wild, edible, and medicinal plants. And then we make them into all natural medicines, such as tinctures and salves and teas and oils. And all the participants get to take these home for themselves, which is just really a treat. And we'll be doing that then. We also do various walks through the American Herbalist Guild. In fact, there's one on April 24th. And all summer, once a month, and those are free to join in with the American Herbalist Guild as we have walks throughout Long Island, both in Suffolk County, Nassau County, Oyster Bay, Sea Cliff, and Smithtown. So just email me to get on that list for the American Herbalist Guild Long Island chapter. We just have so much going on basically all the time. So get in touch and we'll put you on the email list. Today we have as our guest a native Long Islander as well, and her name is Dr. Olga. She is a biomimetric dentist, which is a more natural dentistry that actually takes into account the individual person, not just the tooth. And I think that's a big part of your practice, Dr. Olga, because you also incorporate into all of your work, besides these very specific high-end, evidence-based, medically-oriented therapeutics, which are very different than conventional, but you also deal with the whole person, like you yourself are a Reiki healer. And when you walk into your office, the entire environment is healing. Tell us about that.
Oh, thanks, Eileen. We do spend a lot of time at work. So for me, it was very important to make it feel like home. Like, I wanted to get there. I want my employees to be happy there, and mainly the patients. So when they do come in, they do smell the essential oils versus the dental material that we use. So that's a big plus. So it does put you right away in a more relaxed state. We also like to play nice and calm music, either it's mantras or something nice and jazzy. And all the staff is very caring. What we like to do is treat you as we would like to be treated ourselves. And that's my motto from the very beginning once I started. There's really no other alternative, you know, to be treated any other way. So we all have to be nice and kind and passionate and understanding, because no one wants to be in a dental office. We all know that. Even I don't want to go to the dentist. But the key is basically to treat everyone with understanding and knowing that.
Well, tell us about Reiki. What made you go for even more training to become a Reiki healer?
So I did have some health challenges, and I got interested in Reiki, and as basically for myself. So once I got the level 2 Reiki training, I decided to incorporate that into my dental practice, because Reiki, as you know, is universal energy, which is constantly flowing. And through the hands, as we practice in dentistry, the patient may request a Reiki healing. So that could be incorporated during or after the treatment, as well as I think it's always flowing. So that's why a lot of patients tend to either fall asleep in the chair, or they just feel naturally relaxed as they get into the chair.
Well, that's wonderful therapeutic, because I would say most people universally are rather frightened of dentists. You know, I myself have a grandson who's autistic, and really there's no way he's going to have sedation. And I've had a real challenge finding a pediatric dentist who does sedation. And, you know, it's just impossible. I wonder if Reiki would help him, because he, of course, has high anxiety due to his autism.
Right, we could certainly try. We do see a few autistic children. We usually like to schedule that at the end of the day when there's no other patients in the office, so we could basically focus our full attention on the child and make it nice and relaxing, because that's the main thing with anxious patients already.
Well, let's talk about children in general, because you are a general dental practice yourself and your partners at Nature's Dental, and you can find more at naturesdental.net. So, you know, you do family dentistry, so does that include children?
Sure, certainly. We do see a lot of children, and it's very important to bring them in as early as possible so they have a good experience in the dental office. Because once they had some traumatic events, it's very hard to change their mind and make them distracted that we are a different practice. So we always allow the parents to be in the room if they choose to. It's always much gentler. A lot of times we're able to, instead of drilling the tooth, we could use air abrasion or small.
Air abrasion? What does that mean?
So this is like a sandblasting. So we use the sandblasting versus the drill to remove small decayed particles. So it's definitely more gentle, and kids do great with that.
Wow, that sounds like a wonderful idea. I think, shouldn't that be used more in just conventional dentistry, so that we can be less invasive?
Certainly, and as well as the oxygen ozone therapy, which helps to disinfect the teeth more naturally. And we use that for sealants as well as all the cleanings in the office.
So that's also excellent. And, you know, so these are real differences from things that people are used to experiencing in the dental chair, like drilling. They may be able to not have drilling and have something that does take the bad part of the tooth out. You're still totally into that. You're just doing it in a more gentle way. And something like using oxygen and ozone. You know, I know people who have swimming pools that use ozonators instead of chemicals such as chlorine. And those pools feel so refreshing to swim in. So how do you bring ozone into your dental practice?
Of course. So ozone, I got into ozone pretty much the same time I learned about all the new ways of practicing dentistry. And ozone therapy would be under the biological dentistry portion, which is some info could be found on IOMT as well. So the ozone is a natural disinfectant. It's actually produced by our immune system. That's why we call it natural. It is produced in very small quantities. So the ozone is three oxygen atoms together. It makes it O3. And it is more potent than chlorine, like you mentioned. Actually, one drop is probably more potent than the whole liter of chlorine. So we use that throughout the dental cleanings. It runs for all the water systems in the office. So every time you get any kind of water coming out, it's not going to be the tap water or city water. It will be ozonated. We also use ozone gas to disinfect the cavities as well as the periodontal pockets. So a lot of times you go to a dentist, they measure your pockets. They call out these crazy numbers. So these are the pockets that get the ozone gas infiltrated in them, which helps to oxygenate the tissue and kill bacteria at the same time. So it's really, really potent, and I wouldn't want to get a cleaning without that once I found out about it. So I had to introduce it to the office, of course. We also use ozonated oils, which is olive oil or coconut oil, which is infused with ozone for days. We get that from... we don't make that personally. And that could be used to brush and floss and to apply in deep cavities and deep pockets, the gum pockets around the teeth.
So these ozonated products you use in your office, and then people can also get them to use them at home?
Certainly, yes. You could even, we can make you some water to go. The ozonated water stays in the refrigerator, active for about 4 days. And what I was told, if you freeze it in a little ice cubes, it could stay like that for months. So if you have any kind of cold sore or any issue in the mouth that we need to use ozone water, the patient can literally like suck on the cube, on this little cubes, like sore throat or infected tonsils. So you could use that water to naturally disinfect the body.
Well, I have also seen ozone that's sort of in oil. Like I know Dr. Alex, who I know you were inspired by, used to have little jars of kind of ointment that had ozone
Correct.
In it.
Yes, you could use that. That could be used from skin to anything in the mouth. Again, cold sores. After extraction, we always place the ozonated oil in the site because it really helps to heal and prevent anything like dry sockets or reinfecting. You could use it for flossing. So we use that instead of fluoride. So if children have a lot of decay, we'll discuss with the parent how they can utilize ozone into their home regimen. They could floss with it. They could put a little bit on the floss or even a toothbrush, and that could be brushed into their teeth.
So that would be an alternative to something that could really be quite toxic in terms of the things that are usually used, like high amounts of fluoride.
Correct.
Wow, what a difference. But I'll tell you, I like using it much better. You can actually feel it kind of bubbling.
Yes. Yeah, it will bubble through the pocket, and we put the put that into the pocket, the periodontal pockets.
So you have it in several ways that people can use it at home. I know you also have really different kinds of toothpaste that also don't have fluoride in them.
Oh, yes. We do make our own toothpaste, which anyone can make that. It's really simple. We use calcium bentonite clay, which is have like 70-plus trace minerals and ultra minerals, which help the body to absorb nutrients, actually. It's used as a dietary supplement by many naturopaths. So we use this to make our toothpaste. That's why it's edible, so it's safe for children. It has no chemicals in it. So the calcium bentonite clay mixed with water and a few drops of essential oils is really all you need. That's our toothpaste. And once you use it once, you can't use anything else because it's nice and smooth, and you literally feel how your mouth becomes cleaner. We have a few flavors, peppermint, orange, any flavor of your choice. You can always make that yourself. Kids like mint chocolate. We put a drop of chocolate stevia, if parents are okay with that. So they literally eating that up.
Oh, so stevia, yeah. Now, stevia is an all-natural herbal sweetener that, in, according to your consideration, Dr. Olga, you feel that stevia is safer for teeth?
Yes, it is. And we put one drop in a huge jar of 4 ounces, so it just brings out a little bit of sweetness and the flavor.
So what you have in your toothpaste and mouthwash is a combination of all natural essential oils and things like bentonite clay, and then using ozone prophylactically. So it's a very, very different kind of regimen than you're normally going to get. In addition, if you look at things like fluoride rinses, not only is the fluoride itself questionable in terms of medicinal value and toxicity, but you'll usually see, let's say it'll be a bright red. And when you read the label, like everyone should read on everything, you'll find under the ingredients things like really highly toxic red dye.
Yes, everything, unfortunately, in toothpaste, mouthwashes, I have to read the labels. There's chemicals everywhere, and we don't want to put anything in the body that we can't either pronounce or it has more than 5 ingredients. Because everything is, you know, absorbed right into our bloodstream through the mucosa. So just like with skin, anything we put on the skin and in the mouth should be of edible consistency.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. It's just so amazing and so warped the way you think, you know, putting things in your mouth that are known toxins, how that could make sense and how so many thousands of these things are used. And may those additional chemicals and also artificially sweetened as well as sweetened with sugar, things that are sold for children, increase tooth decay.
Correct. Correct. So it's a big epidemic, as you know. The food supply, the water supply, all the products, you have to be very diligent. Do your homework, read the labels. It does require time, you know, making meals from scratch. Everything takes time, but it is a huge investment into our health. Because
it is, but you know what? There are ways around it. Like, I am extremely busy. I lecture every single day. Now my children are grown, but for years I had them at home. They're in their 40s now, but I've been doing this much longer than I've had children. And I always worked, and I just did really, you know, intense cooking one day a week. And then I did a lot of freezing and putting grab-and-go lunches like homemade soup in the refrigerator so the kids could grab it when they got home, or I could take it with me for lunch. So, yeah, it is ideal to actually cook fresh every day, like my grandmother always did, but she didn't work, you know. So right. Those of us yourself and myself who are mothers but extremely busy and highly active professionals but still want to have healthy foods for our family, there are ways around it, such as choosing and scheduling cooking times. And then there are services, you know, that cost some money but are very worthwhile, that actually deliver organic meals to your home. And on Long Island, those are available as well as elsewhere.
I would like to know more about that.
Okay, we'll talk about it soon. We've had those people on our show as well. But we're going to take a little break right here. And talk about more that you can listen to right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Find out about other shows and how you can support the efforts here at Progressive Radio Network. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you for listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today, we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information. The kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one Progressive Radio Network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to PRN.FM, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis. And there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right, thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
Progressive Radio Network, the number one network for those who care about the truth.
Welcome back once more to joining us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. That's on Progressive Radio Network, where all our shows are also archived. Dr. Olga, I'll be sending you a link to your show so you can share with everyone on your website and all your patients. And it's wonderful to educate people because I would bet that many of our listeners have never heard of biomimetic dentistry and why it's different. Now, when you're talking about fillings, we talked about mercury, and many people are aware that they don't want that. But what about the other white fillings that actually are have become more popular versus what you might be using?
Yeah, so the white fillings are a great alternative. So biomimetic dentistry is utilizing white fillings and small bonded porcelain onlays if the tooth is very, very destructed. And as I mentioned from the beginning, I did have the white fillings placed in my teeth, but there is a different way of placing them. And this is when this type of protocol comes into play to place it in a slow fashion. So another way of calling biomimetic dentistry is slow dentistry or common sense dentistry because we are preventing root canals and crowns. And the white fillings that were placed for me, as well as I see a lot of that kind of work in my office, they do tend to leak. Not all of them, but if they not placed properly or not taken enough time to dry and connect to the tooth. They do tend to leak and cause decay around it and will basically have more destruction of a tooth and have to be redone. So the biomedical dentistry that I'm talking about, we try to guarantee our work that the type of seal that we're able to do with this new space age materials and techniques is preventing reinfection, preventing redos. Because a lot of times you have to redo the same teeth over and over. And even in my case, as a dentist, I had these teeth fixed 3 times, same exact teeth. And that's what caused a root canal eventually. It's just too much stress for the tooth to be revisited so many times.
Well, what is this? You know, there's a lot of buzz, I guess, in the natural world about that root canals are deadly. And yet, you know, I struggle with that because which is better, to have the tooth pulled or to have a root canal? Because I must say, where I live, there are many people, literally I know them personally, who are over 100 years old. And they've had root canals sometimes for more than 50 years, and it did not cause disease. So I'm just wondering what your feelings are. Maybe it's best to avoid them, but is it better than to pull the tooth? Like, or do you determine that on an individual basis for that client?
Exactly. Just like everything, just like diet cannot be the nutritional qualification, cannot feed each person, and root canals probably will go under the same category. By all means, we want to do our best to avoid it. A lot of the older root canals, this is very important to note, the 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they do tend to get reinfected because we didn't have the skills and the materials, the rinses like the ozone rinse that we now do for disinfecting inside of the root canal. We didn't have that, so a lot of them get reinfected. So the theory behind it is these infected root canals tend to have the systemic effect on the rest of the body. So if the body's already sick, it may put the person over the edge and cause that problem to be more systemic. But the bodies are very strong, so if you have a great diet, if you take care of yourself, and I do see these people with root canals who are healthy, just like you do, and we do see people that have one root canal and it just puts them over the edge. So it's very, very individual based, and at this point, there is no great alternative. So pulling a tooth is great, but a lot of people can't afford implants. They're still very expensive. A lot of people don't want to get implants. And they just walk around with no teeth, which is not a great way to live because you can't eat properly, then your digestion gets affected as well. So we want to keep our teeth as much as possible, and our practice mainly focuses on preventing root canals.
Well, how often do you think people should get a really deep cleaning?
Well, deep cleaning only recommended if you have deep pockets and you're not able to clean yourself. So regular prophylactic cleaning, if you have healthy mouth, healthy diet, every 6 months is usually a great rule of thumb. But in our practice, we see a lot of extremely healthy individuals. They may be even raw foodists or someone who is a vegan and they don't eat a lot of carbohydrates. They basically are very, very meticulous on their oral hygiene. Some of them come once a year and they barely have any deposits on their teeth, which is amazing. I would never believe that if I was told. But if you do have some bone loss, a sign of periodontal disease, bleeding gums, it's best to come in every 6 months or even every 3-4 months. So it's again very, very customized, and we can decide that based on individual oral health.
Well, that makes sense. So many things are different there, and our listeners can find out more by go to iomd.com. T.com. That's a site that is not Dr. Olga's site, but that's where a lot of the research is, the real deep scientific knowledge about why you may not want to have mercury in your mouth, why you might want to consider not using fluoride rinses, especially fluoride rinses with all kinds of toxic chemicals added to them, why you might want to start your children and yourself off with a more naturally based dental practice, such as Dr. Olga's practice, which is called naturesdental.com. And just in general, moving towards optimum health and wellness. So we're going to log off pretty soon here, Dr. Olga, but just tell us about your future projects at Nature's Dental.
I wish I have a lot of projects, as you know. Well, my goal is to make this into more of a holistic center. And I'm working very actively, reaching out to other holistic providers like holistic pediatricians and naturopaths and chiropractors and even nutritionists to put together possibly something under one roof. And I feel like nutrition is a great part of it.
So I'd like to You will have to move. Ben, because
yes,
I know you're already maxing out in that beautiful space you created in Greenlawn, so I'm sure that would be wonderful as well.
Yes, the Natural Cafe is in the project. I would really, if you know anyone or interested, I'm looking for partnership to help us with that. And
excellent.
I think it's a great idea to have on-site.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. And this was Dr. Olga Asayeva, and dentist, biomimetric specialist. And you can find out more by going to naturesdental.net. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, for the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And as always, we are hoping that you stay healthy.